Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 835, the topic is Q&A, and the question is, do you need to be fat to be a powerlifter? Now, this might offend some powerlifters, but we're going to go through and answer this question anyhow. What the origination of this question is I have a client who kind of recently set the goal to do powerlifting. She wanted to get into strength training. She had been doing like aesthetic-based training where she wanted to, you know, look a certain way, and a lot of the focus was on how she looked. And that can be very challenging mentally, because to change your aesthetics, to change your body composition, it takes time. And you're going to feel like you're putting in effort like hourly throughout every single day, but yet it takes months to see time to see major changes. So there isn't as fast of a return in regards to like seeing the results of your efforts. Whereas if you take away the focus from aesthetics and you kind of look at what your body can do, whether that's powerlifting, whether that's CrossFit, whether that's just setting fun goals, you know, can you flip a tire, 10 times in a minute, you know, just random goals like that. That then takes it off of aesthetics. It's not so much about how you look. It's showing up, doing effort, seeing progress and strength, which can happen a little faster. And it's just kind of a little bit of a change of mindset. And some people do better emotionally and mentally with exercise if they get away from focusing on just the way they look. So this client is getting into strength training, and they said, I've been watching a lot of videos on YouTube and Instagram. I was wondering, do you have to be fat to be a good powerlifter? And I kind of chuckled a little bit, but I knew what they meant. And again, they liked the idea of lifting heavy. They wanted to do that, but they didn't want to gain body fat. And what they were seeing a lot on YouTube and Instagram was a lot of the powerlifters that they saw, or a lot of the powerlifters that they knew in person, were overweight. And they were just thinking, okay, does that mean that I have to do that to be a powerlifter? Well, let's look at this. If you lift weights and you want to compete in something, there are a lot of options, but there's three kind of big ones in our culture today. The first would be aesthetics, whether that's, you know, bodybuilding, classic physique, whether that's figure, bikini, wellness, like 4 million categories that there are nowadays. But the ones where you get on stage, you show off your muscles and your very lean body. That's one option, but it requires very strict dieting. And it's a hyper-focus on the way you look, not so much on performance. And some people don't want to do that. They don't want all the strict dieting. That's most people. And they don't want to focus on aesthetics. They don't want it all to be about how the way they look. They want to be how they feel. They want to enjoy life. They want to still be able to eat, you know, tacos on Tuesday with their friends. So aesthetic goals, aesthetic competitions, bikini, bodybuilding, figure, physique, all that stuff, tends to be something that's popular and glamorized, but not a lot of people actually do it because of the dieting. Another common or popular option is CrossFit. CrossFit is still, you know, big, and it's still growing. It's still, you know, a powerhouse in the industry. But you have to do an insane amount of movements, and you have to do a lot of cardio. Most people are lazy. They don't want to eat really clean, and they don't want to do a lot of cardio. So what that leaves is there are other options, such as strongman, like Highland Games and some other odds and ends, but they're not very popular. What tends to be the biggest popular option that's left is powerlifting. You get to eat what you want. You don't have to do any cardio. And the focus really isn't on the way you look. You just get to stand still and lift some heavy things. It sounds awesome. So I get to eat what I want. I don't have to do any cardio. You kidding me? And it doesn't really matter the way I look? Oh my gosh, that's definitely going to be like number one choice. Everybody's going to love that because of that. It feeds into our laziness. Now, if you are a powerlifter and you feel that I'm calling you lazy, feel free to be slightly offended. Let's go through this and let's decide whether you really should be offended with me or not, or if you fit into kind of one of the good categories of powerlifting. Now, far be it from me to say what everybody should do. You do whatever you want to do. But if you want to be lean and be a powerlifter, can you do that? Hell yeah. If you want to be overweight and be a powerlifter, sure, doesn't matter. Do whatever you want to do. But going back to the question, do you need to be fat to be a powerlifter? The answer is hell no. No, you don't need to do that. The reason why most recreational powerlifters, meaning like they're kind of beginners, they maybe are training for their first meet or they've done one or two meets, but they're not really kind of advanced. They're not elite powerlifters. They're not like top, 50 nationally, things like that. The reason why most powerlifters are overweight is because they don't diet that strict. They don't want to do any of the cardio. They come into the gym. They do a little bit of mobility stuff. They lift a couple heavy things. They bullshit with their friends while they half-ass some accessory movements, and then they go home. That training style is going to make you strong, but it's not really going to help with body weight, like in terms of body fat, I mean. So you can be overweight, but still say, like, I go into the gym four times a week and I bust my ass. I'm in there for 3 hours. Yeah, it doesn't count as 3 hours if you're sitting 10 minutes in between every squat. So it's not really 3 hours of activity. It's basically probably like 20 minutes of lifting spread out over 3 hours. It's like a freaking baseball game or football game where you watch football for like 3.5 hours, but it's actually 12 minutes of activity. That's powerlifting. So it's common to see that in beginners and intermediates. Because they're still kind of just eating what they want. They're not doing the cardio if they don't want to do the cardio. They just do the part of the training that they enjoy. That's totally fine if they want to do that. But if you want to be lean and be strong, then you do have to eat a little bit cleaner. And you do have to do more cardio type structure within your workouts. I'm going to explain how to do this. How you can actually structure a workout correctly to be both strong and lean. I'm going to tell you how to do that here later in the podcast, so stay tuned. But how lean you are doesn't directly relate to how well you do in powerlifting. Now, there is caveats to everything I'm saying here, but let's kind of talk through that concept of, do I have to be lean to be good? In the lighter weight classes, yes. In the heavier weight classes, no. So, for example, in men's weight classes, there's like a 308 plus. You can weigh 308 pounds or more. Well, if I weigh, if I'm Ray Williams and I weigh 420 pounds, does it really matter if I get much leaner? Probably not. And he's probably going to be leveraging against his belly on like a million things when he squats. Dude squats over 1,000 pounds. So if he were to get rid of his belly, he's going to get rid of a lot of a base that he has in terms of structure, like in terms of like supporting himself in the parallel position of his squat. It would change his squat immensely if he were to take off body fat. But if you compete in like, say, the 181 pound class, or even the 165. I have a client who competes at 148. You don't have a lot of room to have non-beneficial body weight. So fat doesn't lift weights. Muscles lift weights. Fat can improve leverages. It can help kind of like brace you in different positions. There are quote-unquote benefits to fat. But if you have to pick one or the other, you're going to pick muscle over fat. So if you're competing in a lighter weight class, 148, 168, 165, like 181, classes like that as a male. Now, females, it's like, I think it's like 114, 123, 132, 140 something, 148 or 145, I believe, somewhere in there. If you're in those weight classes, what you'll find is there are going to be some people who can maximize that weight class and be very lean, meaning the majority of their weight is muscle. They might be sub 10% body fat. And if you come in at 20% body fat weighing the same, they're going to have more muscle than you. In the long run, if not that day, they will be able to lift more than you. Muscle lifts weights, not fat. So, in the lighter weight classes, you do have to be leaner to be competitive. In the heavyweight classes, it doesn't matter much, as much. Now, if you're, say, competing as a male at the 275-pound class, or female at the 181 or 185, somewhere around there. I forget what their classes are. But if you're in those classes, if you can maximize 275 pounds and be that all muscle, good God, good for you. So that's very rare. It's more likely that somebody in the 275 or the females up in the 180s, it's more likely that somebody's going to be a little bit extra body fat. If we had to throw out some percentages, maybe for the men, they're going to be at, 18 to 20% body fat, somewhere around there. Females, maybe they're going to be at 25% body fat. maybe even up to 30% body fat. And they can be strong because it's going to be very rare to find somebody at those weight classes that's under 10%. So at the lighter weight classes, it's more important that you're lean. In the heavier weight classes, it isn't. And the only reason why it's important to be lean in the lighter weight classes is so that way you're competitive. If you want to be high body fat at a lighter weight class, you can, sure. But are you going to win meets? Probably not. It's very unlikely. So her question wasn't, there's kind of two levels to it. So in the broad scope, do you have to be fat to be a powerlifter? No. Do you have to be fat to be a good powerlifter? Certainly not. If anything, you have to be lean to be a good powerlifter. Now, can you be strong and lean? Yes. So I've got a client who was top 10 nationally ranked, and she earned a pro card in aesthetic sports. So she could do both. She's freaking awesome. So then I've had clients who are elite powerlifters, and they have veins in their butt cheeks. They're so lean. Okay. So I actually encourage all of my powerlifting clients to eat a pretty strict diet. Now, it doesn't mean they can't have cake at birthdays or if they want to, you know, have a slice of pizza or two. That's fine. But I encourage them to be at what would be considered a optimal body fat percentage for strength training. If they have unnecessary body fat on them, I'm going to ask them and kind of promote that they get rid of it. And the reason why is not only does it improve their overall general health, which is important. Any of my clients I ever work with, I want them to stay alive. So I want to always address general health and ensure that that's addressed and kind of taken care of and that's included in what we're doing. And then also, it helps to just maximize recovery. It improves kind of performance in their workout. They're not so out of breath. They're not so miserable. The joints don't hurt so bad. So there's a lot of, even just dietary, if you control nutrition to get rid of things like acidic foods and nitrites, nitrates, like sodium solutions, you can reduce arthritic pain. So you can reduce elbow pain, joint pain, knee pain. And people sometimes think that's like heavy lifting that's causing the problem, but they eat like a jackass. It's actually the food that's causing the problem, not so much the heavy lifting. So there's a lot of benefits to eating clean enough to be at a body fat percentage that allows you to feel strong, but not feel like you're dieting. Not that you're so underfed that you can't be your strongest. So you can do that. Another question I've been asked before is, does powerlifting make you fat? No, hell no. Exercise can't make you fat. There's no way that exercising forms body fat. So when somebody would say, is like, well, when I went to powerlifting, you know, I always gain weight when I do powerlifting. Why? That's unnecessary, completely unnecessary. It just means you're overeating. Your activity level may have went down from what you were doing before. So maybe you were doing high cardio-based activity, maybe you're doing CrossFit, and then you wanted to do like a strength phase, and you mean, oh my God, when I always do powerlifting, I always get fat. No, you overeat. You overeat. Exercise cannot form body fat. Oh my freaking God. So stop saying that. Powerlifting does not make you fat. You overeating while you powerlift makes you fat. So you have to learn how to control your calories better. That's it. So powerlifting does not make you fat. Exercise cannot make you fat. You overeating makes you fat. One of the reasons why that happens with powerlifting is a lot of the stress that we cause to our bodies when we do strength-based training is in the nervous system. We do cause muscle damage, but there's a lot of nervous system stress. And that our body responds with not so much with soreness, but just tiredness. It wants to go to sleep all the time. It wants to be asleep so it can repair that nervous system. People then try to out-eat their sleep. They try to eat to find energy. That's not what the body needs. The body does not have the muscle damage to chew up that extra calories. So if you're eating instead of sleeping, that could be why you feel like you gain body fat when you powerlift. You need to sleep more as a powerlifter, not eat more. On the contrast to that is aesthetic training, bodybuilding training, where you're kind of tearing up some muscle. It's not as important that you sleep as much as it is that you get food in. The body can't repair muscle damage with sleep. It repairs it with food. It uses food while you sleep, but it's not sleep itself. So there's this interplay with sleep and food. If I do strength-based training, nervous system stress training, I need more sleep, not more food. So make sure you're not trying to out-eat your tiredness. Go to sleep, take a nap. okay? Do better with your nighttime routine so you can get to bed a little bit earlier. Get off Netflix, get off YouTube, get off Instagram, get off Facebook. Close your eyeballs, okay? So, now we get into how do we structure workouts for both strength and leanness. There is a format to training that I use for pretty much all of my clients. And it's not a template, it's just it makes sense. When they get in the gym, we want them to do mobility prep. If they're going to squat that day, we want to do things that kind of prepare their thoracic spine and their shoulders to kind of get a nice good bracing position under the squat bar. Then we want to make sure we warm up their hips, warm up their knees, warm up their ankles, get maybe the core activated. We just want to kind of prepare the body. It's mobility preparation, mobility prep. Then we do mobility warm-ups, and that can be sometimes like mobility prep might be foam rolling and, you know, a cross-legged stretch to open up the glutes, whereas mobility warm-up might be like walking lunges, maybe thoracic rotations, so it's more like dynamic style movement, whereas mobility prep is more like the foam rolling, you know, voodoo bands, scraping techniques. We do compression rollers, so we have weighted rollers that you can weight with Olympic plates, that just kind of can work loose some tight muscles. So there's that kind of stuff. And then there's mobility warm-ups, which is more dynamic style movements. Maybe light couple light sets on adductors and abductors. Maybe a couple light sets with a hip circle from slingshot. More so like exercises that are done lighter and are more dynamic in movement. We then go into our strength-based movement, which, you know, if I'm using the example of a squat, would be some heavy-ass squats. We might not do a competition squat all the time. It might be a squat variation, maybe safety squat bar, camber bar, box squats, you know, pause squats, variations like that. But then after the strength movement, we typically superset and circuit the related accessories. So there are different names for all the different things that you do after your main movement. But if you're doing, for example, a squat workout, there are then typically exercises after squat that you do that target specific aspects of your squat, whether it's part of the range of motion, whether it's a specific muscle, whether it's a concept cue that you're working on, doesn't matter, any of those things. But we tend to superset or circuit those. Rather than doing them individually where you sit around for 3 minutes in between the sets, you might as well do them as a circuit. So if I'm doing, for example, something that's a hinge, a hip bend, and then I'm doing something that's a knee bend, I can just superset those back and forth. Does the knee bend exercise take away a little bit from the hip hinge? Sure. Does the hip hinge take away a little bit from the knee bend? Sure. But the purpose of each one is to create stress in the body to elicit change. So the extra kind of taking away from one versus the other is great because it just causes the stress faster and it causes the stress with lighter weights. So I can actually do, using supersets and circuits, I can have my powerlifters get stronger without having to lift as heavy of weights. This saves connective tissue, this saves joint stress, allows us to train at a higher volume, which has just higher stimulus turnover for more changes over the long period of time. So, for example, in 6 months, they can do what other people take 9 months to 12 months to do. So structuring your workouts in this way is absolutely the best way. Is it easy? Hell no. It's freaking miserable. You're going to be out of breath. The muscles are burning. You're going to be hating it. But you're going to love when you feel good after your workouts. You're going to love that you can still lift weights in 10 years. You're going to love that you can be a badass and have six-pack abs and still lift heavy shit. So it's a great idea to structure your workouts in this way. You have mobility prep. Then you have mobility warm-ups. You have your main strength movement. And then you do supersets and circuits of the related accessories. So that is a good idea. So let's, for example, mobility prep might be foam rolling your adductors and doing a cross-legged stretch to open up the inner glute muscles like the piriformis and whatnot. Then mobility warm-up, we can have lateral lunges. So side lunges, maybe a dumbbell hanging side lunge, or you could do Cossack squats. Those are really good for kind of lateral mobility warm-up. We can also do, maybe on a deadlift day, you can do box jumps to get elicit some explosiveness and power on squats. Maybe you can just do some walking lunges. You can do heel elevated goblet squats to kind of open up the knees. You're just doing some things to move yourself around. Then the strength movement, you might have your main movement, okay, whether it's squat, bench, or deadlift. then superset circuit of related exercises. For example, on like a deadlift day, we may have the person do a stiff-legged sumo stance stiff-leg deadlifts. Those are freaking awesome for opening up your adductors, hamstrings, and glutes, and it's great for kind of working on maintaining a flat lower back and kind of opening up your hip rotation. So that's a really awesome exercise, stole from Louis Simmons, West Side Barbell. But that's a great movement, but that's more of a hip hinge. So then we still want to have some kind of knee bend, and that can be to build explosive power. If you're a conventional deadlifter, it's explosive power off the floor. We might do very heavy banded paused leg press. So yes, I have my powerlifters do a leg press. We can also do explosive single leg jumps. That's a great way to build explosivity off the floor for a conventional deadlifter. If you're a sumo deadlifter, you still got to work quads, but maybe we'll do a wide stance work, wide stance deficit eggshell deadlifts. And what that is you have a deficit to get deeper into the starting position. You have wide stance because you want it to be relatable to sumo. And eggshell deadlifts means that you're controlling the eccentric portion and just lightly tapping the bar, the weights off the floor, and you'll do that for multiple reps. So maybe sets of like 6 to 10 reps. Horrible, miserable, wonderful time under tension, but a really good exercise to build hip strength and balance in internal and external rotational muscles. So that's a really cool combo. For squats, maybe we'll have the person do barbell stiff leg deadlifts off the floor or RDLs off the floor. Maybe superset that with like front rack alternating lunges, reverse lunges, alternating front lunges, something like that. Maybe even front squats, something like that. So you get something that's a hip hinge, you get something that's a knee bend. So that way you're working all the muscles and you're getting bracing involved there as well, core bracing and thoracic involvement for bracing. So there's a lot of benefits, stuff like that. So bench press accessories, you can do, a shit ton of dumbbell presses. You can do weighted dips, you can do pull-ups, you can do cable rows, dumbbell rows, just basically pushes and pulls. And try to do a billion angles so that we get good at them. So that's an idea of what we would do. All of that stuff after the main movement, you would do as a circuit or superset. You don't do them individually. You don't do a set, then bullshit with your buddies for 3 minutes. Do a set, bullshit with your buddy for 3 minutes. Get your butt moving. If you do that, that is in itself a form of muscle cardio. It is cardio in which you're using your muscles to create the cardiovascular aspect. So just doing the movements back to back to back is going to get you out of breath. Doing the movements themselves, the muscles use oxygen when you're doing them in circuits and for a long duration. So that furthers the oxygen debt stress of that specific part of the workout. That can help you burn overall more calories in each of your training sessions. Then we also do control our nutrition. Nutrition, we try to match our caloric needs to what we need for repair and growth. We try not to overeat. So you eat a lot around your workouts. You eat less away from your workouts. That's just meal timing concept. That's a great concept to apply. You just eat more when you move more, eat less when you move less. Pretty simple. But it's just making sure that you adhere to that. You don't skip meals. Don't overeat after your training. You eat more before the training rather than after the training. So it's just kind of finding that balance for yourself. Creating workouts that involve cardiovascular movements and activities, but you don't have to be in a treadmill. Just lift weights faster. just lift weights in circuits, basically. Then with nutrition, you just want to make sure you're eating enough to feel good in your workouts, but don't be a big and eat too much afterwards that you don't need. You don't need a whole pizza from Domino's after your workout. And then also just making sure that you're not eating to try to recover sleepiness and fatigue. If you're sleepy, go to sleep. Okay? If you're hungry, you eat food. So don't mix those signals up. Whew. Hopefully that was helpful as we kind of went through all of that. I think that answers the question. Again, the question is, do you need to be fat to be a powerlifter? No, absolutely not. Does powerlifting make you fat? No, absolutely not. You just have to make sure that you do what other people don't do. So if you look at recreational powerlifters or people who are overweight and powerlift, it's probably because they're overweight, probably because they don't pay much attention to their diet. And they don't do cardiovascular type of movements in their training. So as long as you do what they don't do, you will look like they don't. Make sense? Cool. Now, if you want help with that, I have clients that I work with online. I have clients all across the United States, from California to Florida to New York. I have clients over in Europe. I have clients in the UK. I have clients in Spain. I have client down in Mexico right now. So it's pretty fun. I have clients everywhere. If you want any kind of online client work, you can check us out at our website at www.brutalirongym.com. We do everything. We do the programming, nutrition, corrective exercise therapy, anything and everything you need to be your best. I can help you with that. Those services do have more cost because they're one-on-one and you get all of my attention. We do have cheaper services as well. We have, for example, monthly programming for $50 a month. There's no contract, and there are programs specific for powerlifting. It includes a training program that renews itself every single month. We have options for people who are members of BIG, so they can utilize the equipment that we have. And we have options for non-members, so they can utilize kind of general normal equipment that most commercial gyms would have, most home gyms will have. Also, with every single program, there's an associated nutrition program. That way you know how to eat based on your goal. We offer morning motivation. You can get messages via text or email. That's a new quote every morning, kind of a little new message, kind of start your day with the right mindset. We have accountability tracking. You actually have a chart that you can track your efforts and see the truth of what you do versus what you intend to do or what you think you do. We also offer free technique review by posting your video on Instagram using the hashtag BigFormCheck, B-I-G, FormCheck, F-O-R-M-C-H-E-C-K. If you post your video on Instagram using that hashtag, I will see it, and then I will give you free feedback on your technique. We also have educational support. If you are a monthly programming client, you get first dibs, first requests on podcast topics. If you have any question whatsoever at all, I will answer it. I'll either answer it via email, text message, or make a podcast about it. So that way there's educational support. So not only are you reaching your goals, you're learning as you go. If you're interested in the monthly programming, it's only $50 a month. There's no contract. You can try it for a month. If you don't like it, fine. I don't think you won't like it. Everybody who's tried it so far has just been renewing, so it's been growing, and that's freaking fun as hell. So thank you to everybody who signs up. It's fun to see the excitement and all the positive feedback. So thank you very much. But if you'd like to try it and you're new to it, it's just $50 a month. Again, there's no contract. We have training programs for every goal, whether it's strength-based, whether it's aesthetic-based, whether it's cardiovascular-based, whatever you want to achieve, we can help you do that. The whole idea of offering monthly programming is not everybody can pay, you know, a couple hundred dollars a month for services. It's awesome when you can, but if you can't, most people can afford $50 a month. If this is something you truly want, you will pick this over going out to eat. You will pick this over other expenses like frivolous things. You will find ways to penny pinch, and you can find $50 a month. If you do, this is an awesome, awesome service that I think will get you everything you need. This is something I certainly wish I would have had when I was starting out on my journey. So if you're interested in that, again, just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Cool. Hopefully this podcast was helpful. If you liked this actual episode, please click like on the podcast platform you're on. Also, if you like the podcast itself, please share it. You can share it on social media, share it in emails, text message conversations. Please, please, please share the podcast if you like it. Please, please, please. It helps the podcast grow, helps us be found through internet searches and things like that, and it just helps get healthy, good quality information out into the world. So thank you if you share the podcast. Also, if you like the type of information that we share in podcasts, you can always find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And finally, if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, the true meaning behind this podcast is for it to be for you. I just want to answer whatever questions you have. So if there's anything you'd like to know about, let us know at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful. And thank you for listening.